This program has been described by AudioVision. For information on over 400 video and audio titles, call toll-free 1-866-966-7667 or visit our accessible website, www.audiovisioncanada.com. The contents of this program are protected by copyright and may not be duplicated or used for any commercial purpose without the express written consent of the copyright holders.
A Fred F. Finkelhoff film with narrative description by AudioVision Canada. At war with the Army. Starring Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. With Mike Kellen, Angela Green, Tommy Farrell, Gene Ruth, William Mendrick, Douglas Evans, Kenneth Forbes, Danny Dayton, Paul Livermore, Frank Hires, Ty Perry. Introducing Polly Bergen. Musical director, Joseph Lilly. Songs by Mac David and Jerry Livingston. Director of Photography, Stuart Thompson. Assistant Director, Alvin Ganser. Assistant to the Producer, Vern Alves. Art Director, George Jenkins. Makeup, Lee Greenway. Wardrobe, Jack Dowsing. Sound by Frank McWhorter. Production Manager, Norman Cook. Film Editor, Paul Weatherwax. Based on a play by James B. Allardyce. Presented on stage by Henry May and Jerome E. Rosenfeld. Executive Producer, Abner J. Greshler. Written for the screen and produced by Fred F. Finkelhoff. Directed by Hal Walker.
War. Total war. A struggle for survival. In this era of force and destruction, historians will argue, what was the most influential factor? What was the most deadly instrument, the most deadly weapon? Was it the overwhelming manpower? Was it the blistering fire of the burning rocket? Was it the thundering mail from heaven, the bomb, the blockbuster? Was it the lightning-like descension of the silent parachute? Was it the withering stutter of the light machine gun? Or the staccato of the Garand rifle? Was it the brutal juggernaut, the Patton tank? Was it the flamethrower? Or was it the screaming anger of the faster-than-sound, quicker-than-death V2 rocket? No, it was none of these things. The most effective, the most deadly, the most terrifying weapon of all time was...
Yes, you're right. The sergeant's whistle.
All right, you guys, now I'm going to tell you...
A drill sergeant dresses down his platoon.
Got a Kino's coming, see? And as usual, the Kino ain't very happy. And I ain't very happy either. Look at this giant. It looks like Coney Island on a Monday morning. Hi, Sarge. What's the action?
You see Corwin?
Yeah, I seen him, but I couldn't take it, so I sent him over to the mess hall. He's on KP.
Okay, take him away.
Right, Sarge. Right, my friends. Now I want you to fall out, spread out, and pick up everything when they ain't growing or nailed down.
Brandishing brooms, the soldiers start to clean up the army base. Later, in the mess hall, they file past an assembly line of kitchen workers who put knives, forks, and spoons on their trays. Then, impatiently tapping their spoons on their plates, they join the lineup for food.
All right, let's go.
Let's have some food.
Doling out the beans is Corwin.
What are they griping about?
Well, they've got to eat them.
I got to cook them.
In the Navy, they get steak, caviar, and whipped cream cake. They have fancy cooks who know what cooking means. In the Army, we get mess, and it really is a mess. Oh, the Navy gets the gravy, but the Army gets the beans.
Beans, 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 beans.
Send the salami to your boy. printed menus every meal, and they decorate your plate with parsley green.
He wears parsley on his head.
In the army, we get chow that you wouldn't feed a chow. Oh, the Navy gets the gravy, but the Army gets the beans.
Beautiful beans, gorgeous beans, succulent beans.
And the bologna, cause I'm skinny and bony. Yes, the Navy gets the gravy, but the Army gets the
beans, 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 beans. Beans.
Loving those beans, hugging those beans.
Know what it means, Mommy, I love ya. Nothing but beans.
Beans, 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 beans.
Oh, I was born at the age of 3, as smart as I could be. Sure, it takes a great mentality to dish out all the
beans. Beans, 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 beans.
But beans, bell-bottom pants are conducive to romance. They are wined and dined and loved by movie queens. But you wear a khaki frame and you get a wacky dame. Oh, the Navy gets the Army gets the
beans.
I hit the jackpot, but it's always a crackpot.
Yes, the Navy gets the gravy, but the Army gets the beans.
He marches along the top of one of the tables.
Did you know that the Navy gets all of the gravy? Did you know that the Army gets all of the beans? Oh, a soldier's a coward if he doesn't lick the platter clean. Oh, a soldier's a coward if he leaves a solitary bean. Oh, it isn't the fighting that will make a soldier cross and mean. It is only the beans. You can grab Marine and you show him a bean. He says, what does it mean that I never have seen? So you grab a civilian at one in a million can identify. So I say to you, why do we gotta have beans?
He goes back to the kitchen.
Multiple beans, product and beans, succulent beans, nothing but beans. Beans!
The sergeant walks in.
Let's get
nothing
out of here,
but beans.
The men get up from their tables and scurry out. The sergeant struts over to Corwin and looks at him sternly.
What do you think you're cooking around here?
Beans?
Oh, shut up. You've been getting away with murder and it's got to stop. You understand? Shut up! Just because we were friends before and used to work together, I've been covering up for you. That's got to stop too, you understand? Shut up! I'll get you a pack and everything that goes with it, and I want to see you down front in exactly 5 minutes. Understand? Shut up! You're going to go on a long, long journey and you may not be back this way. You understand? Shut up!
The sergeant leaves. Corwin stirs the beans.
Get your pack and everything goes with it. Be down front in 5 minutes. Understand? Shut up! We're on a long, long trip. We're gonna be there soon. Shut up! Shut up! Shut up!
In the orderly room.
He's liable under AR-605-300. What's more, the CO can get him on the 104th and 107th articles of war. Now, the record goes on his WDAGO form 20 and 24. He could be eligible for a 615-360. Section 7, paragraph 49.
Oh, sure. I get it.
You saw how he acted in CCB X1 and 2, and last summer he was a 293. Do you think he's covered in 615-360?
Sure, an MR1-92. His profile is 24.4.4 D points.
Oh, brother, I ain't the Army. I'm back in the numbers racket.
Here's your mail, Corporal.
Well, I guess we'll take another crack at that bandit. You think it'll work?
It should. There was a guy in here a little while ago that fixed it.
About time.
He puts a coin in the pop machine, but doesn't get a bottle. He gropes the coin return.
How do you like that? Now you don't even get the nickel back.
The sergeant storms in.
This creepy Army. I asked for a transfer again. They throw me right out of battalion headquarters.
He sits at his desk.
Shaughnessy, how many times I have to tell you? This ain't a day room.
All right, sir.
Got a cigarette?
Yeah, here.
Tell Sergeant McVeigh I want to see him right away.
Right.
Is Miller in?
Yeah.
The sergeant walks over to the supply room's split door, whose top half is closed.
Hey, Miller, what do you think we got here, midgets?
As he ducks through the open bottom half, a lieutenant enters the captain's office and salutes.
Captain, what about this training film tomorrow morning?
Oh, yes. That begins at 7 o'clock. Now, the theater's two blocks away, so I think we better fall out at 6:35.
They'll want us in front of battalion headquarters not later than 6:25.
In that case, Davenport, have the men lined up and ready to go at 6:50.
Back in the orderly room.
And Sarge, that Corwin's lost again.
Well, you better find him.
Right, Sarge.
He looks overhead.
Hey, you see them lights?
He points to a save electricity sign.
See that sign? Well, let's be turning them off.
Sergeant McVeigh, we've got to see to work, don't we?
Yeah, well, what if Colonel Davis comes? He don't like lights on in the daytime.
Another thing, McVeigh, the company has an early formation tomorrow, and you better have those men fall out at 5 minutes before six.
5 minutes before six, huh?
Yeah.
So I tell you, I got some names here that are cockamamies. Wladoski, Schmelowitz, Kizeli Uzmiak. Let me fall them out early, say about 5:45, huh?
Okay.
Right, son.
McVeigh blows his whistle.
Someday this guy's gonna blow his brains out.
If you ask me, he's already done it.
Corwin walks into the orderly room and eagerly approaches the corporal, who is typing at his desk. Corwin raises his hand to get the corporal's attention, but the corporal ignores him and keeps right on typing. So Corwin, a little less eagerly, shuffles over to the sergeant's desk. But the sergeant is writing and also ignores him. When the sergeant's phone rings, Corwin dutifully lifts the phone and hands it to the sergeant.
Yes, sir. Yes, Captain. Yes, sir.
The sergeant hands the phone back to Corwin and goes right on with his work. Corwin raises his hand to get the sergeant's attention, but the sergeant continues to ignore him. Corwin looks around and spots the open door to Captain Caldwell's office. He sticks out his tongue at the sergeant and traipses into the captain's office. But Caldwell is busy at his desk. Corwin manages a weak salute. Without looking up, Caldwell salutes back.
See the first sergeant in the other room?
Discouraged, Corwin turns and schleps back towards the door to the orderly room. Caldwell looks up.
Go around the outside. Through that door.
Caldwell points to the outside door. Corwin points to the door to the orderly room.
That door.
Corwin points to the outside door, and Caldwell nods. Corwin waves a little goodbye to the orderly room door and plods over to the outside door. He stops, turns around, and salutes. Caldwell doesn't look up from his desk. Still saluting, Corwin edges his way over to the front of the captain's desk. But Caldwell still doesn't look up. Corwin squats down so his face is directly in Caldwell's line of vision. Caldwell finally looks up and, disgusted, gives Corwin such an aggressive salute that Corwin loses his balance and falls on his tush.
I said that door.
Corwin scrambles to his feet and makes a hasty exit through the outside door. In the orderly room...
Got a cigarette?
No, I quit. Can't afford it.
Corwin comes in, trudges over to the sergeant's desk, and taps the sergeant on the shoulder.
There you are. Where you been?
He gets up.
Fine-looking specimen you are. Get over here. Look at this. Look at that. Fix the helm. Now get out on the parade grounds 10 times around. Double time, understand? Then come back here. I got plans for you.
Corwin turns and shambles towards the door.
Go on, get the lead out of your bucket.
Corwin runs.
Wait a minute. Come here. Got a cigarette?
Corwin pulls a bent cigarette out of his shirt pocket. The sergeant takes it, lights it, inhales, and blows the smoke in Corwin's face. As Corwin leaves, the sergeant gestures to the corporal to shut Caldwell's door.
I've been arguing with the adjutant again.
Yeah?
I don't dig this army at all. I want overseas, I stay here. The guys who want to stay here, get overseas.
You forget there's a war on.
Yeah, but what do we get to do about it? When I was a civilian, we had something doing every minute. Singing, dancing, working in nightclubs. I join the army, I sit on my hands. Nah, I'm hungry. Think I'll inspect the mess hall.
A private walks in.
Hiya, Sarge. Been waiting up for me?
How come you're late, Edwards?
I was drunk.
I don't blame you. With a kisser like that, I'd be loaded all the time.
Why, thank you.
You're welcome. Now go to the barracks, Edwards. Get into your fatigues and report back here. And if you have any social engagements, call your secretary and have her cancel them.
As the sergeant storms out, Edwards turns to the corporal.
Sergeant's real brave today.
I get any mail?
The corporal flips through a stack of envelopes.
Sure took you a long time to sober up.
Took me a long time to get drunk. My new girl had a date with another Joe last night.
What's the matter, losing your appeal?
Edwards opens his wallet and hands it to the corporal.
Does that look like I'm losing my appeal?
Wow! Very tasty!
The corporal admires a photo of a beautiful dame. Later, another pretty woman enters the orderly room and walks over to the corporal.
Hello.
Hello?
Is Sergeant Puccinelli in?
No, he's out. What did you want to see him about?
It's of a rather personal nature.
Oh, would you like to leave a message?
Yes. Just tell him Millie was here. I'll be back in 10 minutes. On second thought, do you mind if I sit here and wait for a while?
No, go right ahead.
Thanks.
As Millie sits down, Captain Caldwell steps out of his office.
Clark, do you have that field?
He spots Millie.
Manuel?
He smiles at her, and she smiles back. Corporal Clark hands the manual to Caldwell. Caldwell returns to his office and closes the door. He ponders a moment, then picks up a paper off his desk and returns to the orderly room.
I want 4 copies of this.
A blonde enters Caldwell's office through the outside door.
But, sir, I did this yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Yes, sir.
Caldwell smiles at Millie.
So you did. Well, I want one more copy.
The blonde watches.
You know, it takes a fantastic amount of paperwork to administer even a little tank company such as we have here.
Are you ready, Ernie?
Not yet, dear. I'll be right with you. I've decided we can do without another copy of this.
He grabs the paper and marches into his office.
That's our commanding officer.
Which one?
In the captain's office.
Who in the company is that girl married to?
I don't know, dear. Shall we call Luella Parsons?
Now, darling, don't get testy. I just happen to know that she's a Titusville girl. She works on the pulse. She has a calcium deficiency. And she's expecting.
Expecting?
Yes, and don't ask me what she's expecting.
Where in the world did you uncover all this, Mrs. Sherlock Holmes?
At the clinic yesterday. I was there for my cold shot, and one of the nurses told me about her.
Say, I just remembered. There's been a mix-up in the OD roster.
I know.
I may get it.
No, you won't. Lieutenant Torea stuck with Officer of the Day.
Are you sure?
Yes. Sally Pearson told me that the adjutant's wife told her that the adjutant said so at noon.
Oh, well, if Sally said so, that settles it.
As Caldwell files his paper in a cabinet, his wife dusts off a lamp.
How are you getting along with Colonel Davis?
Well, that depends. How are you getting along with Mrs. Davis?
That woman. She's so rank conscious. How soon will you be ready to leave?
Why don't you go to the club and wait? I have a lot of papers to sign.
Can't somebody else sign those?
I'm the only one. The United States Army has a high regard for my signature.
I wish the First National Bank did.
She leaves through the outside door. Caldwell throws his pen on the desk and heads back to the orderly room. In the supply room...
Where'd you get these clothes, Sergeant?
Quartermaster, sir.
And why didn't you get a shipping ticket when you got the clothes?
I don't know, sir. Maybe they weren't paying attention when I drew the issue.
Then this is stolen goods.
No, sir.
I think I'll have to have a look at Army regulations.
But Lieutenant Davenport, don't you trust me?
This is no way to run a business. Carry on.
Davenport opens the top half door, turns a pinup poster around to face the wall, and walks out. Miller closes the top half door, then ducks through the bottom half door.
He's gonna tell me how to run a business. Used to be a soda jerk. He just ran out of soda.
I gotta see the first sergeant.
Hiya, kid. I see you're still wearing your old head.
You leave me alone. I got trouble.
In the Army? You got troubles?
Yeah, and I gotta see the first sergeant right away. It's important.
Take it easy.
Don't tell me how to take it. I gotta get a 3-day pass.
The last guy in the U.S. Army that got a 3-day pass was Sergeant York.
Yeah, well, I don't care. I gotta see my wife. It's an emergency.
I've had emergencies, but could I get a pass?
Bet you were never having a baby.
Kid, I never even had my appendix out.
Corwin!
Yes, sir?
Did you do those penalty tours?
Yes, Corporal.
To report to the drill sergeant?
Yes, Corporal.
To report to the mess sergeant?
Yes, Corporal.
Okay.
Boy, if I ever get overseas, the first thing I'm going to do is surrender. Concentration camp's got to be better than this.
The sergeant stomps in.
What crummy coffee. Why wouldn't wash my...
Hey, it's here, the shipping order.
Came while you were out. Now watch me get out of this hole.
Hey, Sarge, I wanted...
What do you want?
Nothing, I just thought that maybe...
Get out of my way, can't you see I'm...
The sergeant heads into the captain's office.
Captain Caldwell, I've just seen the shipping orders and I have just a man for you, sir.
Good. Who is he?
Me, First Sergeant Victor Puccinelli.
Don't be foolish, Sergeant. This call is only for privates and PFCs. You'd better make up your mind. You're staying here.
I've seen Army.
I won't argue that point. Now, about this shipment, we can't be expected to cripple ourselves, so don't send anyone who's useful. How about that kid who never does anything right?
You mean Corwin?
That's the one.
Well, he's right out here now, sir.
Maybe Eisenhower can do something with him.
Yes, sir.
Puccinelli goes back to the orderly room.
Corwin.
Huh?
I want to see you.
I don't want to see you too, Dick. I wanted to know if I...
Get your hands off my desk and call me Sergeant. Can't you stand up?
Yes, Sergeant. I just want to know if I could get a 3-day pass.
What'd you say?
I want to know if I get a 3-day pass.
Did you get permission from your platoon sergeant to come in here?
No, Sergeant, but I...
How many times must I tell you that in the Army you got to go through channels?
I know, but this is an emergency, and if I go through the section leader and the platoon sergeant and you and the CO and everybody else in channels, my kid will be old enough to be drafted itself.
Very funny. I can't be giving you a 3-day pass every week. You just came off one.
That's not true. I haven't been on one in a long time, and if my wife forgets what I look like, you'll be responsible.
You should get that lucky. We'll see about it when the time comes. You heard me.
Yes, Sergeant. Aren't we going to rehearse our act for the show?
Oh, get going.
Corwin starts to go.
Wait a minute. Come here. How come you didn't shave today?
No one said I was supposed to. I didn't shave yesterday. Nobody said nothing.
Get out.
Puccinelli shoves him toward the door.
You always didn't used to treat me like this.
Oh, stop mumbling.
You always didn't used to treat me like this. That's what I said, so there too.
You going to start that again?
Yes, I am. You're supposed to be my friend. We lived on the same block, in the same city. And you know what you promised my mother.
Stop hitting my desk. And what did I promise your mother?
That no one would harm a hair on my head.
You mean both heads.
Ho, ho, that's rich.
Oh, quiet, peahead. Just because we were friends before...
Friends before is right.
Anything to do with now? I have a responsibility and you're part of it.
Well, I'm warning you, you're driving me crazy.
That's no drive, it's a short putt. What do you want, special privileges?
No, I just wanted you to remember you were the best man at my wedding.
You're not kidding.
And we was buddies, and we wrote songs, and we sang, and we danced together. And you still owe me $8.75 from before the war. And we was friends and pals. We were just like brother and sister. And what happens? Along comes a crummy little war, and clip-clop, you turn into a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Clyde. What is it with you, anyhow?
All right. Big man.
Couple of stinking stripes.
Big deal. Go home and wash your face. Big deal. Look at him. General delivery.
As Corwin leaves, Clark comes in through the supply room's bottom half door.
What's the matter with Einstein? He thinks I bombed Pearl Harbor. When Edwards comes back, tell him he's being shipped out. Say there was a Millie here looking for you.
Millie? Wonder what she wants.
Oh, I know. What's the date?
29th.
That's it. Tomorrow's the anniversary of our first alert.
Alert? This outfit's never been alerted.
I know, and I just used it as a gag. You know, the first time I saw Millie, she looked real good to me. But all I got was ice cubes.
So?
So I told her we were being alerted.
So?
So she let me kiss her.
So?
So I took her out a few more times.
So?
So she let me kiss her a few more times.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Nothing, except one day she started to talk and I found out how dumb she was. You know, that dame's really 60 cents short. Not only that, she got on a getting married kick. What is it with these dames? They all want to get married. I know a lot of nice people that aren't married. Then one night I took her out. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right, sir. After you tell Edwards he's being shipped out, send him in to see Miller and have his supply record checked up.
Right.
As Clark heads back to his desk, he notices something out the window. When Puccinelli looks up, Clark points furiously outside. Puccinelli runs across the room and ducks through the bottom half door to the supply room. Millie comes in and approaches Clark.
Hello, you're that cute corporal that was here when I came before, aren't you?
Yes, but Sergeant Puccinelli still isn't in.
I don't suppose you know if he's going to stay in camp tonight or tomorrow night?
No, well, you see, we never know when we're going to be alerted.
I know.
Ours not to reason why. Ours but to do or die.
That's cute.
Look, why don't you write him a note?
Write him?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you do it. Just say, I'll be back at 6:45 when I get off from work. And put down it's important. And if I don't see him, there might be trouble.
Okay. If I see him. You know, he's not the easiest guy in the world to locate.
Don't I know it. Well, I have to get back to the PX. We're terribly busy today. We're closed.
Clark looks at her, puzzled.
Closed for inventory.
Oh.
Goodbye.
As she leaves, an officer walks into Caldwell's office.
Well, they did it again. The adjutant just stuck me with officer of the day.
I know.
You know? Well, why didn't you tell me?
My wife just told me.
Did she also mention when the war would be over?
She doesn't tell me everything she knows.
As the officer leaves Caldwell's office, Puccinelli pokes his nose in the door to the orderly room.
Clark.
It's okay, she's gone.
What did Millie have to say?
She left you a note. She said she'd be back 6:45.
Come in.
It's Corwin.
No!
But Sergeant!
You got permission to come in here?
No.
Well, get out.
Corwin leaves.
They think all I have to do around here is hand out passes. What was I talking about?
Millie. She said if she doesn't see you tonight, there's going to be trouble.
I better catch the first bus into town.
Corwin returns.
Hey, Corporal, would you know what I can...
McVeigh barges in.
Out them lights. The colonel's coming by.
Corwin dives for the light switch.
The office is through.
Then dashes into Caldwell's office and turns off the overhead light.
Hey! Oh, I'm sorry, sir, but the colonel is coming, and you know how he feels about lights burning in the daytime.
And you know how I feel about it.
Yes, I do, sir.
Corwin starts back to the orderly room. He stops, then sheepishly leaves by the outside door. Back in the orderly room.
All clear.
Okay, turn him on.
Hey, where's Corwin?
He's been running in and out of here all day long, and if he keeps it up, we'll have to put in a revolving door.
Look, has he got permission to skip training?
No, and you better find him. We'll send him to the CO.
Right, Sarge.
And another thing, Edwards and these guys are shipping overseas. Come in. Come in.
It's Corwin again.
Get out of here.
Come back here.
Get out of
Come
here.
Come back.
Corwin wavers, then comes in.
Let's be explaining why you ain't been in no classes all afternoon.
I've been looking all over you, McVeigh.
Oh, you've been looking for me, huh?
Yeah, I want to know, could I have permission to see the first sergeant?
No!
Yeah, but I gotta see
you
him.
You don't gotta see nobody!
I got a message for the first sergeant for battalion headquarters.
Now, why didn't you say so?
He didn't let me.
Corwin, you never learn. You know, before you take off on details, you gotta tell your platoon sergeant.
He was the one who sent me on a detail.
That don't make no difference.
All right, what's the message?
Corwin pulls a sheet of paper from under his cap.
It says that you gotta report to the dispensary in the morning for a physical examination.
Physical? Let me see that. My application for paratroops went through.
Hey, Sarge, you need me for anything?
No, take 2 weeks off.
Right, sir.
McVeigh blows his whistle and runs out.
Well, wait a minute, Sarge. Form 38 spelled out in case of discharge.
Discharge? What does that mean?
Oh, he's right, Sergeant. According to paragraph 8, article 40-100, 24 hours prior to discharge of an enlisted man, for reasons other than physical disability, he must be examined and Form 38 filled out.
They can't do this to me.
Sergeant.
What?
When you get home, will you call my mother?
Oh, get out of here. I'll refuse. I'll go in and tip it.
Puccinelli charges into the captain's office.
Captain Caldwell, can you do something about this? They want to discharge me. Me a 4F or they're crazy.
No, Sergeant.
Well, go ahead and read it for yourself.
Sergeant Puccinelli, Millie will be...
No,
here
no.
Puccinelli grabs the paper and runs out. He returns with another paper that he hands to Caldwell.
WDAGO Form 38. Oh, calm yourself, Sergeant. Your application for warrant officer has come through. You're being discharged to accept appointment as warrant officer.
Me, an officer? Oh, that's worse.
He starts to leave.
Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Would you make out tomorrow's morning report and send it to battalion?
Morning report tonight?
Yes. From now on, they want it in the night before.
Fed up, Puccinelli heads back to the orderly room and turns to Clark.
It's a discharge, so I can become a warrant officer.
Congratulations.
Edwards ducks in from the supply room.
Hey, what's this deal about me shipping out?
There's no deal. You're just on a movement. You'll be leaving in a couple days.
Look, Sarge, how about crossing my name off that list? You know, I got a new girl in town, and we're pretty serious.
That's very touching.
Listen, I gotta see my girl, I tell
you. I've seen the girls you go with. You'll do better where you're going.
Yeah? Well, I've seen your type, too.
Why don't you drop down to the Rialto Theater sometime?
The Rialto?
Yeah, the new redheaded usher.
Helen?
That's right.
Why, I'm a dirty, low-down, no good...
You win that argument. Go ahead, start another one.
You're cutting in on me. I go with Helen.
You went with Helen.
Now I see why I'm on shipment. You're pulling your rank on me.
But don't do it, Sarge. 96 Article of War. Sock him and the captain will bust you.
Put this on the bulletin board.
As Puccinelli hands Clark a memo, Edwards spots the note on the corporal's desk. It says, Puccinelli, Millie will be here at 6:45 p.m. Must see you or there might be trouble.
You can take off, wise guy, and start packing. I've got work to do. This ain't no pool room.
No? I could have sworn I just saw an 8-ball.
Get out of here.
Edwards pockets the note and leaves. At the rec hall, Corwin rehearses with the band.
I never went to college. I haven't got much knowledge. But there are some things that I know, I know. I've gone and made a survey, a very special survey. And I've discovered that statistics show.
Puccinelli steps up to him.
And what do you think you're doing?
I'm singing.
You call this singing?
Didn't you like it a little?
I didn't even like it a lot.
You have to admit my voice is different.
Come on, Sarge, let's hear you sing it.
Oh, I can't. I got some work to do, and besides, I got a date in town.
Oh, come on.
Okay, one chorus.
It's easier to say I love you than Tonda Wanda Hoy Kotakala. And wouldn't you rather say I love you than Tonda Wanda Hoy Kotakala? It's easier to spell kiss me, dear, than Tonda Wanda Hoy Kotakala. And wouldn't you rather hear kiss me, dear, than Tonda Wanda Hoy Kotakala? To quote a famous Yale professor, osculation is a sensation that is nice. If you should ask a Harvard lawyer, he'll charge you $20 and he'll give you this advice. It's easier to say I love you than Tonda Wanda Hoy Kotakala. And wouldn't you rather say I love you than Tonda Wanda Hoy Kotakala? To quote a famous Yale professor, osculation is a sensation that is nice. If you should ask a Harvard lawyer, he'll charge you $20 and he'll give you this advice. It's easier to say I love you than Tonda Wanda Hoy Kotakala. And wouldn't you rather say I love you than Tonda Wanda Hoy, Tonda Wanda Hoy, Tonda Wanda Hoy Kotakala?
Later, Corwin cleans the orderly room while Clark types. Puccinelli comes in.
How long before Millie gets here?
About 20 minutes.
I'd like to find a joker that spread the rumor around that I'm already a warrant officer.
Why?
Every time I walk into the barracks, some nitwit yells, "Tension!" I walked in while McVeigh was shaving. He snapped to attention, nearly cut his throat.
Sergeant McVeigh cut his throat?
No, he just nicked it a little, but he bled like a stuck pig.
Shaughnessy walks in.
Okay, you lucky people, you can go to town now. I'm ready to take over.
Take that junk into the captain's office.
Right.
And take that with you.
Hey, Corwin, give me a hand with this, will you?
He hands Corwin his briefcase, and they head into Caldwell's office.
Well, I guess that wraps things up, Clark. Go on, get home to the little room. Sorry, see you in the morning.
Puccinelli goes into Caldwell's office.
I'll be back in a minute. Hey, Corwin, don't forget you have to police up outside, too. Listen, Shaughnessy, some babe might drop in here soon asking for me, so tell her I'm out running the obstacle course.
Okay, Sarge.
As Puccinelli leaves, Corwin sidles up to Shaughnessy.
You know, Shaughnessy, I kind of wish that McVeigh would have cut his throat.
How could he blow his whistle?
You know,
Some people tell you when you get in the army, you get used to it. But they don't say how long it takes, and I ain't getting any younger.
You know something, Corwin?
Hey, Corporal!
Corwin starts sweeping as McVeigh struts in.
Come on, let's be giving me the pass.
What are your plans for tonight, Sarge?
Oh, I guess I'll get me a couple of beers.
Oh, gonna wet your whistle, eh?
You bet.
Corwin mimics him. McVeigh notices.
Come on, let's be hurrying.
As Shaughnessy heads back into the orderly room, McVeigh runs his hand above the door frame.
Hey, there's something you missed. Let's be getting on the ball.
He wipes his hand on Corwin's shirt.
Yeah, but nobody can see up there, Sarge.
Well, that don't make no difference. Getting awful sloppy around here.
He grabs a towel.
That'd be neat.
He uses the towel.
That'd be tidy.
To polish his shoes.
Because if we ain't, somebody's going to get it.
Shaughnessy comes back in.
This army ain't just a place to have fun, you know. Well, if anybody asks for me, I'm painting the town. And when I'm painting the town...
He opens the outside door.
I'm painting the town.
And leaves.
Big man.
Corwin puts down his broom and does an impersonation of McVeigh.
Gotta be neat. Gotta be tidy.
He struts around, pretending to smoke a pencil.
Here's something you missed.
He wipes his hand on his shirt.
Let's be getting on the ball. Yeah, but Sergeant, no one can see that.
That don't make no difference.
If anybody's asking for me, I'll be out painting the town. And when I paint the town, I'm painting a car.
Take it easy, son.
What'd that McVeigh have to be in the Army for? Why couldn't he be in the Navy? I can't sleep in the afternoon on account of that guy.
Well, why don't you take a poke at him?
Me take a poke at Sergeant McVeigh? You know what they do to me?
What can they do to you? There's nothing lower than what you are now. Look, any regulation that says you can challenge anybody in the Army. If you think they're taking advantage of you, ask them to put the gloves on with you.
You mean I could sock Sergeant McVeigh in the nose and nobody say nothing?
Sure.
What if he hit me first?
But you don't let him. You see, it's a matter of science, lad. Come here, I'll show you.
Shaughnessy stands beside Corwin.
Strike a pose.
They try boxing stances.
No, you see, first you got to pick a style. John L. Sullivan.
Corwin tries again.
No, that's not for you. Wait a minute. The Jack Dempsey crouch.
Corwin squats.
That's better. You're a killer. Get low. Lower. Lower!
Corwin falls on his butt. Shaughnessy gives up and heads back to the orderly room.
Hey, I got it. Come here.
Corwin enters.
Tony Canzanieri. That's it.
He shadow boxes.
He was a ballet dancer.
Corwin prances around on his toes like a ballerina. He pirouettes, jetés, jumps up and down, and finally starts tap dancing. When he sees Shaughnessy is not impressed, he stops and sits on Clark's desk.
Oh, no. Look, you gotta have rhythm. Watch. Yep.
Shaughnessy spars with an imaginary opponent. When Corwin starts to dance to the beat, Shaughnessy goes back into the captain's office. Puccinelli walks into the orderly room, but Corwin doesn't notice. Corwin sinks to his knees and starts slapping the floor.
Corwin, come here. What are you doing?
I'm training.
For what?
I'm going to put the gloves on with Sergeant McVeigh.
McVeigh?
Yeah, I'm going to jab his head off.
Where do you want the body sent?
Send it to McVeigh's parents.
Your body! Go on, get in and finish the rest of your work.
He shoves Corwin into the captain's office, then sits down at his desk. Corwin pokes his head through the doorway.
Vic?
No.
He walks in.
Can I just talk to you for a minute?
All right. What do you want now?
Remember that song we wrote together?
Yeah, what about it?
Well, we got a telegram from the music publisher, and he wants us to put the song on a record and send it to him right away. Well,
go ahead and make a record of it.
No, why, you should record it.
Get Bing Crosby.
I like you better.
Oh, you don't have to fight McVeigh. You're punchy already.
Why, just because I like you better? See, at least you can do a show a little consideration for me. Sure, I know you're a sergeant and I'm only a private. At least you can do is be a little friendly.
All right, I love you. I'm your friend. What do you want me to do?
If you never ever give me a pass again, I don't care. Just take this song into town tonight. You know, to that place where you put a quarter in the machine, instead of writing home to your mother, you send your voice on a record.
After handing Puccinelli the song sheet, He reaches under his shirt and pulls a coin from a pouch.
Here's a quarter.
But I got a date.
So what? Take your date to the recording booth with you. Might be a little warm. It might be a little fun.
All right, I'll record it.
Shaughnessy peeks in.
Millie!
Puccinelli quickly gets up.
I'll be seeing you.
And leaves. In the captain's office...
Come in.
Shaughnessy greets Millie.
Oh, hello.
Hello. Is Sergeant Puccinelli in?
Oh, no, he's out in a bivouac.
Oh, that's a shame. How'd it happen?
Say, haven't I seen you someplace before?
You might have seen me at the PX, number 10.
Edwards steps in.
I used to sell beer, but I asked to be transferred to the candy counter.
What happened? Did you get hungry?
Good evening, Corporal.
Oh, hi.
Aren't you going to introduce us?
Private Edwards, meet a friend. Friend, meet Private Edwards.
Your name's Millie, isn't it?
Millie doesn't look it, but she just switched from beer to candy.
Would you like to take your break now, Corporal?
Definitely.
Glad to have met you.
Oh, thank you. If you want anything, just ring for the bellboy.
He's nice, isn't he? Do you think Cutie will be here tonight?
Cutie? You mean Puccinelli? No, I don't think he can make it. But anything you want to tell him, why, you can tell me.
He leads her to a chair.
What's your name? The charge of quarters is so crazy when he introduced us that all I remember is that you're a friend of his.
She sees some blankets.
U.S. That's cute. Monogram blankets.
Edwards tosses Caldwell's nameplate in the trash can.
My name's Caldwell. Private Ernie Caldwell. And I was just thinking that if you're not doing anything tomorrow night,
well, tomorrow night.
Corwin barges in.
Hello.
Don't you know enough to knock before you come into a room?
Gee whiz, I was just down at the PX and I thought Corporal Shaughnessy would like some ice cream.
Well, set it on the desk. I'll see that he gets it.
Corwin puts the ice cream down and opens the door to the orderly room. He pokes his head back in.
The spoon's inside.
Closing the door, he goes over to Puccinelli's desk, takes off his cap, and sits down. Edwards comes in.
We'll keep this between the two of us.
You don't gotta worry about me. I'm no snitcher.
Edwards gives him the okay sign and starts back into the captain's office. But he changes his mind and heads for the front door. Corwin does an impersonation of Puccinelli.
Got a cigarette?
After Edwards leaves, Corwin spots a sheet of paper on Puccinelli's desk. He picks it up. And slowly realizes it's the song he gave Puccinelli to record. He dashes over to the Army base saloon where he finds Shaughnessy.
Corporal, I gotta get into town right away. Can I have a pass?
Are you nuts? You're restricted.
But the fellas forgot the music. I gotta have a pass.
Nothing doing.
Corporal, it's a matter of life and death.
Nothing doing.
Corwin winces. Then he turns and hightails it out of the saloon. Outside, a delivery man unloads theatrical costumes from the back of a USO van. Corwin notices. He casually saunters over. And when the coast is clear, he dives into the van and slams the door. The delivery man returns, locks the van's back door, climbs in behind the wheel, and drives off. In town, he parks the van in a narrow alley and gets out. Wearing a blonde wig, Corwin peers out. He steps out of the van in a slinky dress, then runs off. But he soon has to stop to pull up his nylon stockings. He straightens up, slips the sleeves of his blouse off his shoulders, and wiggles his fanny so his dress hangs straight. Holding his head high, he turns and pads up the street. At a beer parlor, enlisted men and their dates are dancing to a live band. McVeigh stumbles up to the piano player.
Can you sing my little hard baby?
No.
That's okay, I'm glad. I hate that melancholy baby.
He lurches over to the bar. As he sits on a stool, Corwin comes in, still dressed in drag. Walking behind McVeigh, Corwin taps the drill sergeant on the shoulder.
I beg your pardon, did you see?
McVeigh turns around.
I beg your pardon. Never mind.
Corwin sashays off.
Hey, Charlie.
McVeigh turns to the bartender.
What was that?
I don't know, Sarge.
At a table.
Excuse me.
I beg your pardon.
Corwin walks off.
Did you see what I saw?
Yeah.
Corwin joins some officers at the bar and takes out a cigarette. When he smiles fetchingly at the two officers on his right, they get up and leave. So Corwin turns and smiles at the two officers on his left. They nearly fall off their stools trying to get away.
Here's a light.
The bartender holds out a lighter.
What do you have?
Cream de cassis.
Cream de cassis?
Corwin nods. On the other side of the bar, McVeigh hoists a pint and spots the funny-looking dame across the counter. McVeigh shakes his head, then lifts his hand to try and get the dame's attention. Finally, McVeigh gets up, staggers around the bar, and puts his arm on Corwin's shoulder.
Excuse me, little lady. How about a little drink? Huh?
Please.
Hey, can you sing Melancholy Baby?
Bartender.
All right, Romeo.
Well, I'm just buying a little drink for Melancholy Baby.
You've had enough, Sarge.
Mm-mm. I ain't gonna stop drinking until she starts looking good to me.
As Corwin purses his lips, McVeigh swills down a mouthful.
Now,
he puts his arm around Corwin.
You know, you are the first dame I ever met who didn't remind me of any other dame I ever met.
Well, bartender, how much do I owe you?
A half a bob.
Corwin slips his hand down the front of his blouse, pulls out a pouch, and puts some change on the counter.
Well, thank you. You've been very nice. What were you saying?
How about singing a little song, huh?
Little song for soldier. Would you like a Creveden song? Or a Groblin song? Or possibly you'd like a Blablo Binvinden song? Hmm?
As McVeigh nods, Corwin slaps him.
I'm awfully sorry.
Corwin gets up and walks over to the band leader.
Would you play this, please?
Oh, sure.
Thank you.
Corwin sashays back to the bar and cuddles up to McVeigh.
It's easier to say I love you than turn one iconic love.
He grabs McVeigh's arm.
And wouldn't you rather say I love you than turn one iconic love?
He slaps McVeigh's face.
It's easier to spell kiss me dear.
He pinches McVeigh's cheek.
And wouldn't you rather hear?
He smacks McVeigh's forehead.
Then Tondo Wanderhoy, Carnicola.
McVeigh stares at Corwin's hairy chest.
To quote the famous Yale professor.
When McVeigh runs his hand up Corwin's arm, Corwin slaps his fingers.
If you should ask a Harvard lawyer, he'll charge you $20. He'll give you this advice.
Puccinelli comes in and stares hard at the blonde singer.
Nah,
can't be.
He walks off.
And wouldn't you rather say the potosi?
Carnicola. When Corwin spots a couple of band members coming in the door, he abruptly ditches McVeigh and hurries over to them.
It's me, Alvin.
Alvin, what on earth are you doing in that outfit? Are you nuts?
Me nuts? You guys ran off and forgot the music.
What if you get caught?
Never mind. Get Pooch that recording, but we gotta have those records the first thing in the morning. He's over there.
As Corwin slips out, Puccinelli sits with Edward's beautiful dame.
Now, as I was saying...
Yes, Vic?
Helen, you look so wonderful tonight. Could I interest you in a slightly used kiss?
Hey, Sarge.
Now, what do you guys want?
We had to go back to camp. We forgot the music.
Well, don't bother me. Give it to Sam at the piano.
Okay, Sarge.
Right.
After the two guys make for the orchestra, Puccinelli pouts.
What's the matter, Vic?
Oh, nothing. Just one of those things.
Come on. What is it?
Well, I didn't want to tell you, but...
But what?
We're being alerted.
Alerted?
Shh.
But, Vic, what am I going to do when you're gone?
Well, Helen, you're going to miss me that much?
Why, sure, Vic.
This may sound a little hokey, but, well, I wrote a song, and I'd like to make a record of it just for you.
Oh, Vic, that's nice.
Would you mind stepping into the booth while I record it?
I'd love to.
They get up and walk over to the recording booth. Stepping in, they stand facing each other.
You and your beautiful eyes that tell such wonderful lies. When you start that hocus pocus, boy, things get out of focus. You and the way that you kiss, they ought to give you a prize. Baby, you could make a statue come to life just looking at you. Gee, but you're beautiful. Oh, but you're beautiful. You and your beautiful eyes. You. That whole
jumping Jiminy Crooked
morning.
Things get out of focus. Let's talk about you.
Well, please do.
And the way that you kiss.
Do it like this.
They ought to stage a big parade. Give you a prize.
Your lips, let's try them off the side. Oh, baby, you could make a statue come to life just looking at you.
Don't stop.
Gee, but you're beautiful.
Pulls down a shade.
Yes, you and your beautiful eyes.
They kiss. In the mess hall, Corwin stirs a pot. He picks up a bottle of powder and dumps it into the pot. Then he takes a huge flask of liquid and pours it in. He spots a package of fresh garlic buds. He takes one of the buds, smells it, and tosses it into the pot. The chef comes up behind him.
All right, Corn, what are you doing? You gonna make this your life's work?
What do you want from me? Why don't you worry about what you're doing? I'll worry about what I'm doing. I never made this stuff.
The chef walks away.
When those guys are ready for it, I'll give it to them. But it's gotta be finished. Worry about what you're doing. Let me worry about what I'm doing. I never done anything like this in my whole life. Who are you?
Puccinelli steps in and starts clapping.
Good boy, Corwin. Good boy. Now, come on, let's go down to the little old dispensary, huh?
What? The where?
The little old dispensary. We're going to take the little old arm, then we're going to roll up the little old sleeve, then we'll get the little old needle, and then we'll give you the little old shot, and it ain't going to hurt a little old bit. Come on.
You sure it ain't going to hurt?
No, it won't hurt you a bit. Come on. Good boy. Go ahead.
Puccinelli steers Corwin out the door and over to the dispensary.
You won't even feel the little old needle.
I don't feel a little old needle.
Ah, oh, won't even hurt you a little bit.
Won't hurt a little bit?
No.
Is that square needle?
Round needle.
Relax.
The door to the doctor's office opens, and two guys carry a comatose soldier out on a stretcher. Corwin stares at him and begins to laugh nervously. He makes a beeline for the outside, but Puccinelli grabs him and shoves him in the doctor's office.
Corwin!
The doctor lifts the needle.
Now just relax.
When Corwin gawks at the needle, the doctor squirts him in the eye.
Roll up your sleeve.
Think of something pleasant. You're eating ice cream. You're dancing with a beautiful, beautiful girl. You're sleeping in a white, dreamy bed.
The doctor jabs Corwin's right arm.
I don't
get the last part. Now, that didn't hurt a bit, did it? How do you feel? Feel good?
Corwin nods.
Okay, come on, let's...
As Puccinelli leaves, Corwin collapses.
Corwin!
Later, in the orderly room...
Come in.
Corwin enters with his right elbow in the air. He walks over to Clark's desk and hands the corporal his doctor's certificate with his still-functioning left hand.
Does this finish up your malaria shots?
Yes, Corporal. And me, too.
Here, take this note into the mess, Sergeant.
Corwin takes Puccinelli's note.
How do you feel?
How do you think I feel? What do you think I am in there, pincushion? You said it wouldn't hurt me.
You'll live.
That's what I'm afraid of.
As Corwin starts for the door, Caldwell comes in.
Morning, Clark.
Morning, Captain.
Corwin lifts his sore arm in a crooked salute. Caldwell glares at Corwin, then turns to Puccinelli.
Puccinelli, I talked to Colonel Davis, and he's going to put you on that overseas movement.
That's swell, Captain.
Did Corporal Clark tell you about the woman who was in the orderly room yesterday?
Yes, sir.
She's having trouble locating some man in the company, and I want you to find the man.
Yes, sir. I'll try, but it won't be easy.
She could make things nasty if she got to the Colonel. Will you take care of it?
I'll do my best, sir.
Good. And as soon as you find the man... I want to see him.
Yes, sir.
Caldwell heads into his office and shuts the door.
How do you like that? Now I'm in charge of domestic relations. Even that little alert gag I pulled on Miller just to kiss her a few times.
McVeigh barges in.
Hey, stop them lights. The Colonel's coming by.
Puccinelli and Clark run around and turn off the lights. They return to their desks just as the Colonel and Davenport come in.
Yes, sir.
As you were. Sergeant Puccinelli. I'd like to see your copy of the master training schedule.
He looks around.
It's supposed to be posted permanently on the bulletin board.
Yes, sir.
Corporal Clark, show the Colonel where we've posted the schedule. What was that?
He said it's right over here, sir.
Clark rifles through the papers on the bulletin board.
It's here, sir.
I can't see it.
Well, it's... I'm sure I put it here.
Well, it doesn't seem to be here now. I think it's in the other room, Colonel.
Puccinelli aims his voice at the captain's office.
What was that? I think it's in the other room. Oh, Colonel?
When Caldwell overhears Puccinelli, he runs to turn off the lights, then pretends to be busy at his desk. As the Colonel and Davenport head into Caldwell's office, Puccinelli slams the door on them. It sends the two officers crashing into the captain's desk. Regaining their poise, they salute each other, repeatedly.
At ease.
Good morning, Colonel.
Good morning, Caldwell. We can't seem to find a copy of that master training schedule. It should be posted in every orderly room.
It's probably there, sir.
No, it isn't on that board.
I can't understand why it isn't up.
In the orderly room, Puccinelli and Clark search frantically for the schedule. Clark finds it in the waste basket.
Here it is.
He gives it to Puccinelli, then holds himself against the door to the captain's office.
I hope it looks better than your orderly room.
As Davenport tries to open the door...
Sergeant Puccinelli!
Clark struggles to keep it closed until Puccinelli gets the schedule tacked on the bulletin board.
Open that door!
As Clark steps away from the door, Davenport comes flying out and slides headfirst into the pop machine. The Colonel and Caldwell come into the orderly room and glare at Davenport, who desperately tries to silence the machine.
I hope someday to see a copy of that master training schedule.
We found it, sir. It was posted under SOP.
Ah, yes. Well, no wonder I didn't see it.
It's too dark in here. Turn on those lights.
As the colonel returns to the captain's office, Caldwell shrugs and follows him in. Davenport joins them and shuts the door. Edwards comes in.
Here's the envelope from battalion.
He hands it to Clark.
So you're really going to ship me out?
That's right.
Well, cutie, I had a nice little talk last night with Millie. And?
And?
And I'll give you the rest of the day to get my name off that list.
Don't threaten me. Get out.
Edwards starts out.
Wait a minute.
It's a pleasure.
Here's a telegram for Corwin. Give it to him in the mess hall.
Davenport comes in.
Sergeant Puccinelli, Colonel Davis is going to inspect the supply room. And following that, the mess hall.
Yes, sir.
Puccinelli crosses the room.
Hey, Miller!
Yeah?
The colonel's going to inspect in a minute.
Oh, no, Sarge! Ditch this for me!
Miller tosses sacks of stolen clothes to Puccinelli. Puccinelli throws them to Clark, who hides them under his desk.
O'Reilly!
Another one! Wait a minute!
Meanwhile, in the captain's office...
Captain, what's gotten into this company?
Well, a few things have gone wrong, sir,
a
but...
A few things? Captain, I have never...
Sounds like the mess hall.
Mess hall?
Davenport opens the door to the orderly room.
Signals
as the colonel walks out, a sack of clothes smacks him in the face.
Sergeant Puccinelli, what's going on here? What's that whistle? Is it a fire? What is it?
It's a baby! Vic, look! It's a little baby! Look! We got it! Look, when we first married, we didn't think we'd have any. And now we got a little colonel!
Corwin jumps into Puccinelli's arms. Later, in Caldwell's office...
The colonel said this is the most outrageous company he's ever seen. That he's canceled you off that shipping order.
You mean I can't go overseas?
That's right. Here it is in writing. Not only that, he's given all us B Company officers a big fat map problem.
I'm sorry, sir.
Yes, sir.
Puccinelli steps into the orderly room.
How do you like that? 5 years in this man's army. 5 years, and the day before I go on shipment, I get caught in this filthy machinery. Man age. What's the first class this afternoon?
Calisthenics.
Oh, fine. That's all I need. There's got to be an easier way to make a living.
Puccinelli storms out. Later, in the captain's office...
I don't see how we can identify these small islands just by their topography.
I'm afraid this little number will keep us busy for a week.
Oh, good afternoon, Mrs. Caldwell.
Good afternoon. How soon will you be ready?
Well, well, well. All dressed up to go places, I see. I'm afraid that for once in my life, I have a surprise for you.
Really?
It seems that without consulting you, the colonel has given B Company officers a special problem which will undoubtedly take all night to do.
What kind of problem?
We have to identify a number of South Pacific islands by their topography.
Sally said you wouldn't get that till tomorrow.
Then you must have done something to anger Sally because she gave it to us today.
Well, I'll tell her a thing or two. I might have come out without the answers.
She rifles through her purse.
The answers?
Yes, I have them right here. Someplace.
And hands her husband a note.
Here you are.
Munich, Strasbourg. These aren't the answers.
Oh, that's B Company.
She takes back the note.
Here's yours.
And hands him another one.
Errol, Kosol, Tagawa, Duray. If I thought there was another woman like Dorothy on this earth, I'd tell you to get married at once. Honey, this is wonderful.
I'm certainly glad you appreciate me. Well, I've got a few things to pick up at the PX. And I'll be back to pick you up in exactly 20 minutes.
She starts for the door, then stops.
Uh-oh. I better get this to Captain Steiner and C Company.
The two men salute her.
At ease, men.
In the orderly room, Miller beefs.
Can you imagine that? He wants another good conduct ribbon. How does he lose so many?
I don't know. He gets plastered and deals them out like fraternity pins.
Hey, the colonel's checking calisthenics.
As the soldiers flee,
Miller
heads for the supply room, then turns and runs into the captain's office.
I beg your pardon, sir.
Yes, what is it?
The colonel is checking orderly rooms.
The captain and Davenport bolt out the door. Miller returns to the orderly room and shuts the door. He snaps to attention as the colonel comes in.
Sergeant Miller on duty, sir.
Where's Sergeant Puccinelli?
With the company. Taking calisthenics, sir. Shall I get him for you, sir?
No. No, the exercise will be good for it.
Yes, sir.
Miller.
Yes, sir.
At ease. What's the name of that sergeant, the one with the whistle?
Oh, you mean McVeigh, sir.
Yes.
I want you to find McVeigh immediately. Tell him to get this entire outfit on the obstacle course in 10 minutes, understand?
Yes, sir.
When Miller leaves, the colonel tries the pop machine. McVeigh marches his men through a field. As Corwin struggles to keep up, he drops his gear.
Hey, Corwin!
Corwin picks up his stuff and runs to catch up with the troop. At the obstacle course, the men crawl through metal cylinders placed side by side. Head down and on all fours, Corwin tries to sneak around the cylinders, but winds up at McVeigh's feet with his head stuck between the sergeant's legs. He runs a hand up McVeigh's body and feels the sergeant's stripes on his arm. He pulls his head out, looks up at McVeigh, smiles and waves. Then he scampers back and crawls into the cylinder.
All right, come on out of that patch and come out fast. Keep it moving. I don't want to hear your helmet crying.
All the men crawl out of the cylinders except one.
Hey, Corwin, come out. Let's be getting on the phone.
McVeigh bangs on the cylinder. A flock of chickens come flapping out, followed by Corwin holding an egg in each hand.
All right, come on. Keep crawling.
McVeigh drags Corwin by the collar.
Come on, stay with it.
Next, the men cross a ditch by swinging on poles suspended from a bar. When it's Corwin's turn, he grabs the pole and swings like a pendulum back and forth over the ditch. Corwin tries again.
Come on, you can do it.
He grabs the pole and pushes with such force that he swings right up and over the bar. Corwin lets go, and the pole catapults him into a tree.
Make him like a boy.
As Corwin struggles to get out of the branches, McVeigh runs over to him.
Corwin? Yes, Sarge? You gotta stop this clowning.
As smoke bombs go off all around them,
all right, you guys, keep it all order.
The men crawl under a barbed wire fence. Dazed, Corwin runs toward the fence. An explosion sends him reeling, and he falls into a bomb crater.
Hey, Corwin! What happened to Corwin?
From there, he burrows under the fence, tunnels his way just below the surface of the ground,
hey,
then pops out like a gopher.
Hey, Corwin, this way.
Corwin scurries off on all fours. Next, the men climb over a 20-foot-high net.
All right, let's go. Come on. You're all up. Look alive there. Come on. All right, you guys. Come on now. Come on now.
As the men quickly climb up one side and down the other, Corwin struggles to get his leg over the top. Climbing down.
Keep it rolling. What are you doing up there, mailing letters?
Corwin gets his foot stuck. He falls on his head and knocks himself out.
Oh, Corwin.
McVeigh runs over to him.
Corwin. Hey, Corwin, you all right? Oh, water. Get some water. Hurry up. Hey, Corwin.
Here you are, Sarge. What did I do with it?
Let him have it.
The soldier tosses the pail of water on Corwin, who slowly comes to and looks around, stunned.
Wait a second. Now, take it easy now.
You all right, Corwin?
You all right, Corwin?
You okay?
You okay?
McVeigh and the soldier carry Corwin off the field. A short while later, Corwin stumbles into the orderly room. Still wearing his helmet and carrying a backpack, he looks around, but no one is there. So he drags himself over to a bench next to the pop machine. Dejected, he flops the backpack down on one end of the bench, then looks around forlornly. He spots something over by the supply room. He walks over and picks up a cloth sack. Returning to the bench, he drapes the sack over his backpack to create a pillow. But when he sits down, the bench tips up, throwing him against the pop machine. Out comes a bottle of pop. Corwin picks it up, looks around, and breaks into a goofy grin. Then out comes another bottle, and another, Corwin grabs the cloth sack and holds it up to catch the bottles. Then money starts pouring out of the coin return. So Corwin takes off his helmet and uses it to catch the coins. Out comes a bottle of milk, which Corwin tosses into the sack. Corwin can hardly keep up with the barrage of goodies. He frantically tucks bottles under his chin, under his armpits, between his legs. As he jostles to catch all the booty, Corwin can hardly believe his good fortune. Later, in the captain's office...
I can't take those push-ups the way I used to.
Well, I'm glad to see they finally fixed that soft drink machine.
Well, I think I'll go in there and take care of that supply sergeant now. Do you know, he turns the same articles in for salvage over and over again? I think he's going to open up an Army and Navy store.
Davenport heads out to the orderly room. Shaughnessy snaps to attention.
As you were. Sergeant Miller?
Yes, sir.
Shaughnessy turns to Clark.
Hey, where's Sergeant Puccinelli?
I don't know. Boy, he's sure in trouble again. The colonel's after him, the captain's after him, and Millie's after him. I wouldn't trade places with him with 14 points.
Davenport ducks out of the supply room wearing a new jacket. Smiling, he struts across the room and into the captain's office.
Ah, I see you took care of that supply situation to your satisfaction.
Yes, sir.
He hangs up the jacket.
I don't think we'll have any more trouble with Sergeant Miller. I have to get on to my next class.
As Davenport leaves, Caldwell gets up and goes over to the jacket. He looks it over. Then walks out across the orderly room and ducks through the supply room's bottom half door. Puccinelli comes in.
Oh, that was close. Colonel almost had me that time.
He sits at his desk.
Hey, got a cigarette?
Yeah, sure, Sarge. Here, roll your own.
That'll be all, Sergeant Miller.
Caldwell walks across the room wearing a new jacket and enters his office.
What's Miller featuring today?
In his office, Caldwell removes his jacket and hangs it on the coat rack next to Davenport's. Back in the orderly room, Puccinelli walks over to the supply room. Miller hands him a jacket.
40 medium?
Match.
As Miller closes the door, Puccinelli hangs up the jacket on the coat rack behind his desk. No sooner does he sit down, then a bell summons him to the captain's office.
Yes, sir.
Have you made any progress finding out about that girl?
What girl?
The one who was in the orderly room yesterday.
Oh, yes, sir. I have a hunch, sir.
I want to see that man as soon as possible.
Yes, sir.
Puccinelli goes back to the orderly room. He turns to Clark.
Hey, where's Corwin?
He's in the rec hall rehearsing.
Rehearsing?
For what? That'll become a mental case?
Puccinelli heads over to the rec hall, where the band is rehearsing for the G.I. Follies show. Stands beside a jukebox, listening to the band. Puccinelli finds Corwin.
Okay, come on, let's go.
Where?
See Captain Caldwell.
What I do now?
You'll find out, and I'm delivering you COD. Come on.
What about the number?
What number?
You promised Pokey you'd do it.
Well, tell him to get with it, but hurry up.
Corwin goes up to the band leader.
All right, go ahead, ask him.
Watch how you ask him in a nice way. Use a little diplomacy. You say, Pokey, will you play a song for Vic and I? We're going to dance. Because you and me, Alvin, we're going to be together a long, long time. You and me, we're friends, right? So ask Pokey. Go ahead, ask him, and I'll wait till you're all through. Because I have nothing else to say. Go ahead. You say, Pokey, play some music for Vic and I. Go ahead, and I'll wait till you're all through. What are you waiting for? Don't make...
All right! I forgot what I was going to ask him now. Oh, yeah. Pokey, would you play this dance number for Vic and I? We're going to do this together.
Sure.
Thanks a heap.
Old-time dance?
Old-time dance, huh?
Wearing straw hats and brandishing canes, Corwin and Puccinelli do a soft shoe dance. Puccinelli stomps on Corwin's foot. Then Puccinelli bounces his cane off the floor and catches it. Corwin tries to bounce his cane, but it just rolls on the floor. When he bends down to pick it up, Puccinelli once more bounces his cane off the floor and catches it. So Corwin tries again. And again, he must bend down to pick his cane up off the floor. Holding his cane in both hands, Corwin jumps over the cane 4 times. Puccinelli tries the same trick and falls flat on the floor.
All right, let's take the last 16 bars of the song, where Vic and I go out, and we do the last bar to the finish of the song. Ready? 1, 2, 3, and...
The band leader just glares at him.
No, the whole band, they should play it together. And
I think we're golden. And no one's bigger than me.
What are you waiting for?
Look, Buster, I don't do it unless the sergeant tells me.
Figures.
Ooh.
Okay, Poke.
Puccinelli and Corwin start dancing again.
Let's quiet down now. We'd like to present First Sergeant Victor Puccinelli and Private First Class Alvin Corwin, doing their impression of two great personalities.
The spotlight opens on Puccinelli and Corwin, impersonating the Bing Crosby and Barry Fitzgerald characters from the classic film Going My Way.
Well, top morning to you, Father.
How are you, big boy? I just thought I'd stop over now, son, and let you know that I don't like the idea of it in St. Dominic's Church.
Well, can't hate to see you leave the place too, Father.
I was just wondering if I might ask a wee bit of a favor now, son.
Well, go right ahead.
I'd love for you to sing with me old Irish lullaby just once again now before you go.
Well, now which little Irish lullaby speaking about?
What you did the night I was so sick in bed, son. You remember that one now, don't you, lad?
Well, couldn't rightly do it for it tonight, Father. Got to have a little music behind me now, you know that.
But I've got the music box. You sang with it once. You can do it again. Won't you try now, son?
Well, shouldn't be a pleasure to do it for you.
Just open it right up and show it in the eye.
Pours Irish whiskey into a couple of shot glasses.
Well, should it tonight?
And they toast one another. In the captain's office.
Sir, would you still like to see the man I spoke to you about? The one that caused all the trouble?
Definitely.
Yes, sir. Corwin.
In the orderly room...
Come here.
Corwin walks over to Puccinelli, who points him towards the captain's door. Corwin straightens his clothes and adjusts his hat before entering Caldwell's office.
Private first class Corwin reporting, sir. As ordered.
At ease. Corwin, what's your first name?
Alvin.
Alvin?
Yes, sir.
Alvin, bringing children into the world is a solemn matter.
Solemn, sir? I didn't think it was so solemn.
That's the trouble. Sometimes we don't realize it until it's too late. Now, what do you intend to do about this matter?
Nothing, sir. Everything's been done already.
That's the wrong attitude entirely. Aren't you ashamed?
No, sir. I'm very proud.
Proud?
Yes, sir. We wanted a baby, so we got a baby.
You wanted a baby?
Yes, sir.
But don't you understand? You can't let this baby grow up without a name.
I know. We'll think of a name for it.
That's not what I mean. Now, Corwin, listen to me closely. Do you have any love for this woman?
Yes, sir. I love her very much.
Well, then my job should be simple. I'm going to give you a 3-day pass so you can go to this girl and do right by her.
Oh, thank you, sir.
But understand, this pass is only to give this baby a name.
3-day pass to think of a name. I know, sir. We'll name it after you.
That's not necessary. But I'll tell you this. When the baby's born, I'll see that you get an emergency furlough.
Sir, but I...
No buts about it. That'll be all. Get into Class A uniform.
Yes, sir.
Corwin salutes and follows Caldwell out into the orderly room.
Puccinelli, I've decided to give Corwin a 3-day pass.
A pass? But, Captain, after what he did?
Well, I have to give him a pass so he can get married.
Get married? What for?
Puccinelli, is this or is this not the man who's in trouble?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He's in trouble, all right, sir. What he means is that the baby's already been born. Is that right, Corwin?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, Sergeant.
Well, that's different. Give me that pass.
Caldwell tears up the pass.
Oh, but Captain...
We'll give you an emergency furlough.
Oh, thank you.
But get this, Corwin. You'd better bring back a marriage certificate.
Oh, that's easy. I got one in a barrel.
He doesn't mean his own, sir. One of the boys has one tacked up on the wall. Corwin, you better get ready to go.
Yes, Sergeant.
Corwin starts for the door, stops, and turns around. Trotting over to the captain, he salutes, then leaves.
Well, I'm off to battalion.
Sir, you want me to type up these furlough papers?
No, I'll have it done at headquarters. I want to push it right through.
Yes, sir.
As Caldwell enters his office...
Uh-oh.
Millie's at the door.
Clark, don't leave me here alone.
Judy!
Millie, what a surprise to see you here.
Well, I've been trying so hard to see you.
Millie, come here.
He leads her to the captain's door.
Now, tell me the truth. Are you going to have a...
Yes, Vic. Where did you hear?
Where did I hear? Why, it's practically a coast-to-coast hookup. Look, honey, step into the captain's office just a
minute. No! There's too much traffic in there.
Please, Millie.
He shoves her into Caldwell's office.
Come in.
Helen walks in.
Victor Puccinelli, I have a few questions to ask you.
Helen, listen.
And the first one has to do with Jack Edwards.
Oh, that's all that's bothering you.
Listen, cutie.
Please, miss.
Who was that girl?
Mrs. Caldwell, the captain's wife.
Oh. If you send Jack Edwards out of this camp, consider our relationship at an end.
Oh, you wouldn't do that, would you, honey?
On the contrary. I'm not sure I'm in love with either one of you, but, well, I want to be fair to you both.
Oh, look, sure.
Good afternoon, Sergeant.
Oh, Captain Caldwell, Miss Palmer, I'd like to have you meet her.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Caldwell starts for his office.
Oh, Captain, I think you want it down at battalion headquarters.
In the captain's office, Davenport enters and bumps into Millie.
Can I help you?
Okay.
Caldwell comes in.
Lieutenant Davenport!
Now, wait a minute. Don't mix me up in this.
Davenport leaves.
Maybe I'd better leave.
No, one moment. You've made a startling recovery, haven't you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Sergeant Puccinelli.
Yes, sir.
Oh, there he is. Corwin, come in here. Sit down, young lady. Can you explain...
Private first class Corwin reporting is ordered, sir.
Will you kindly explain why this young lady is sitting here completely recovered and you're about to... start an emergency furlough?
Recovered, sir? What was wrong with her?
Don't try to be funny.
I don't understand, Captain. I never saw that woman before last night.
You never saw her before last night?
No.
Then why do you think you're getting this furlough?
Because my wife had a baby.
Your wife had a baby?
Yes, sir. Here's a telegram I got.
Well, I think I get this now.
Do you know him?
No, but he's cute.
Look, here's your furlough. Take it and get out.
Thank you, Captain. Yes, sir.
And give my love to the baby.
Yes, sir, I will, sir. Thank you, Captain. Bye.
As Corwin leaves and Caldwell holds his head, Millie sneaks into the orderly room.
Now, young lady. Where is everybody? Sergeant Puccinelli.
Yes, sir.
Do you realize this whole mess is still up in the air? Corwin wasn't the man.
He wasn't, sir?
I can't understand your attitude lately. I guess I'll have to take care of this myself. Get me that company roster with the physical descriptions of the men.
Yes.
Mrs. Caldwell comes into the orderly room where Millie and Helen are sitting. The three women smile uneasily at each other. Mrs. Caldwell sits down at Clark's desk and takes a closer look at Millie and Helen. She looks towards the captain's office and frowns. Helen smiles at her.
Well, I suppose we should introduce ourselves. I'm Helen Palmer, and this is Captain Caldwell's wife.
She points to a shocked Millie.
And who are you?
I'm not quite sure.
The captain would like to see you. You.
Me? Oh, but I was just in there.
Mrs. Caldwell follows Millie and Puccinelli into the captain's office.
Ernie Caldwell, what's the meaning of this? She was introduced to me as your wife.
Now, wait a minute.
What do you mean? You said you had just been in here.
I was just in here. I was here last night, too. The desk was here. There was a chair there. And there was...
Now, darling, this is an army matter. It's not...
He shoves his wife out the door.
Now, young lady, what's the meaning of this?
Captain
Puccinelli.
Ernest Caldwell.
Can't you stay outside until this is settled?
If there's anything going on, I want to know about
it. Well, let's both get outside, and I'll try to explain.
I don't understand.
But, Captain... Oh, come on, Millie, let's get out of here.
But I still don't understand.
They enter the orderly room.
Why is everybody picking on me?
Hiya, cutie.
Edwards enters.
Well, honey, what are you doing here?
Well, I was worried. I came over to ask Vic about you going on that shipment.
Oh, well, don't worry. Cutie will see that I don't go. Come on, why don't you give up?
The Caldwells enter.
Puccinelli, we have something that must be said. Ah, just a minute, sir. For 5 years, this army has been deciding things for me to do. But I'm in the driver's seat this time. I don't want to be a warrant officer. I want to go overseas. I want to get away from everything, away from all this.
You can't dodge the issue that easily. Besides, you're not a private.
That's, sir, something else I'm deciding. I'm busting myself.
You can't do that.
I can't, but you can do it for me. Watch.
He punches Edwards in the jaw.
Ernie!
What?
What did you call him?
Ernie.
Did he say he was Ernie Caldwell?
Yes.
Then there is something.
Well, ladies, please. Now, if you'll just wait, dear.
Caldwell leads his wife away, but she comes back.
Is he the man you've been going steady with?
But no! I only met him last night.
Last night?
Please, miss.
Oh, I think this whole thing is silly. Let's get out of here.
Helen and Edwards leave.
You must have gone out with another man in this company.
Present, sir.
Oh, so it's you, Puccinelli. Well, I'm going to give you exactly what you asked for. You'll be reduced to private and shipped overseas.
Thank you, sir.
And don't think this relieves you of your responsibilities to this woman you're married to.
Married to me?
But don't deny it.
Oh, but he isn't. I'm already married to someone else. John Slager. Have been since a week after I broke up with Vic.
Well, what have you been looking for me for?
Because I wanted to tell you not to come to see me tonight like you promised 4 months ago. Before John and I were married. You won't come, will you?
Only Toledo, no.
Oh, I'm so glad. You see, my husband might not understand. He's not very bright, and I don't want to cause any trouble. Oh, well, goodbye, and thanks so much.
Millie leaves.
Don't think this will clear you.
We're still busting you.
Okay, so I'm busted. For once, I've beaten the army. While all these other guys are rotting here in the States, I'll be on the other side, and the army had nothing to do with it. I did it all myself.
What the devil's that?
I don't know, sir.
Sounds like a special call. I'd better...
Clark rushes in.
Did you hear the news? All movements, transfers, and furloughs have been canceled.
Movements canceled?
Sure. The whole outfit's going overseas.
But darling, why didn't you?
Sally never told me. Ernie Caldwell, step into my office. You've got a lot of explaining to do.
As they head into the captain's office, McVeigh drags in Corwin.
I just caught this man trying to sneak off the post.
Don't bother me. I'm out of business.
Sneak off the post? Nothing. I got a furlough. I got to see my baby.
Nobody don't got no furlough.
I am.
Are you out?
I am.
Are you right?
I am.
Quiet! All furloughs is canceled.
Canceled?
That's right. The whole division's gone overseas.
Overseas?
Come on. Let's be going. Wait a minute. You too.
Me?
too.
That's right, Private Punchinello. Join your buddy. Come on, let's be getting on a ball.
As McVeigh leaves, Puccinelli walks over to Corwin.
Pick it up.
Pick what up?
The suitcase. Private Puccinelli.
When Corwin points to his private first class stripes, Puccinelli gets the suitcase.
Vic. Come on. I'll take it.
What?
The bag. Come on, I'll take it.
Together, they carry the bag out the door. The end. This described version of At War with the Army was created by Audio Vision Canada. The narrative description was written by Ken Daw, narrated by Darlene Jack, and produced by Marco Sorin and Valerie Hunter. For information on other described movies and audio cinema presentations available from Audio Vision Canada, call toll-free 1-800-567-6755.